Friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus. Again, a portion of the Old Testament reading today from the 12th chapter of Genesis. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from the country, your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing." And so Abram went as the Lord had told him. This is God's word. During the Napoleonic Wars, the British general Arthur Wellesley often found himself using the troops that were under his command to attack and to conquer Spanish towns and villages that were being held by French troops. Well, once the artillery had softened things up a bit, had broken and down a section of the wall, that's when the real dirty work began. The first troops that would pour through the breach in the wall were sometimes referred to as the forlorn hope, because their chances of survival were nil. These soldiers knew that they would never live to see another day. Forlorn hope is no hope. But there's a big difference between forlorn hope and the kind of hope that Abraham had. A hope against hope, as Scripture calls it. Forlorn hope is really and truly a hopeless hope. Like Tulsi Gabbard running for the presidency. Pundits are asking why she's even still in the race. Hers seems to be a forlorn hope. There's no chance for her. But hoping for something against hope, while that thing may be seemingly hopeless, nevertheless is not entirely hopeless. To hope against hope is to believe that something is going to happen, even though there is no earthly reason that it could or should happen. Abraham hoped for a family. He hoped for a place to call home. And it must have seemed to him like a forlorn hope. But because of the promise of God, Abraham instead hoped against hope that the promise would come true. And when you think about it, God really did make some very implausible promises to Abraham. He said that Abraham would inherit the land of the Canaanites, this huge swath of land. And he assured Abraham that he would have descendants as numerous as the grains of sand on the seashore and as the stars in the heaven. And he also promised Abraham that his family would be a blessing to all of the families of the earth. But he would have to take God's word for it, because in his lifetime, Abraham never would see these promises fulfilled in any obvious way. You think about it from Abraham's perspective. How could he be the father of a great nation? He could not even father one son, let alone a nation. And now he's 75 years old. And as for the land, it's not as though God handed him the deed and the Canaanites just voluntarily vacated the land. All that Abraham ever possessed of the land in his lifetime was a burial plot for his wife Sarah and him. But the land belonged to the Canaanites. How was he ever going to possess this land? And as for being a blessing to all of the families of the earth, who would ever believe that a yokel from Ur in the Chaldeans would ever become a person of historical significance? These promises seem to be the very definition of forlorn hope. How could any of that possibly come true? You'd be a fool to believe it. I mean, can you imagine Abraham's conversation with Sarah, or husbands? Imagine a conversation with your wife that goes something like this. You say to her, "Honey, let's go somewhere else to live." And she says, "Okay, so what do you have in mind?" "I don't really know any of the details yet." "Oh, okay. Where are we going?" I really can't say for sure. Okay, so what's our home going to look like? Well, we haven't exactly got that lined up yet, but I think I might be able to buy a burial plot for us there. How about that, Sarah? You know, the Bible tells us that Abraham lived to a good old age, but given what he said to Sarah that day, it's a wonder he lived a day past that conversation. Still, when God said go, Abram went. With neither deed nor map in hand, no children, just a promise. And yet God expected Abraham to believe that promise, not on the basis of his sight or his feelings or any deeds in hand or any other earthly prop. Abraham was called to go solely on the basis of the promise. And it was not going to be easy. For the first 25 years in that land of the Canaanites where he was a stranger, nothing happened. God left them dangling in a darkness that often frustrated them, and they failed to see how God would ever keep these audacious promises. And it seemed like their hope was a forlorn hope, a hopeless hope. But they hoped nonetheless. They hoped against hope. You know, human reason often prevents God's people from hoping against hope. You know, what hope is there when the whole world is in rebellion against God? What hope is there when we see the church, once the pillar of our culture, now frail and outnumbered? What is the hope when abhorrent people seem to be the ones who are blessed? They get the big houses, the nice cars, the designer clothing, and what do we have? Promises. And what hope is there when we have neither power nor any deed to power, but we have to stand by and watch helplessly as powerful people abuse their influence for personal gain? And then on top of that, what we believe as Christians is also often hope against hope. I mean, why would God dwell here in our humble church? Heaven and earth cannot contain him. Is it not a forlorn hope to imagine that he would ever bother with the likes of us? Why should a pastor have the authority to forgive sins or to give us the holy body and blood of Christ and to speak for God? Who does he think he is? Does he hold the deed to the riches of God's kingdom? And isn't it a little bit ridiculous to think that a splash of water can do anything but get you wet? Or that bread and wine can be anything but bread and wine? Isn't it foolhardy to hope that any power resides in these things? This is exactly why we must trust God. All that Abraham had was the word. No riches, no land, no deed, no family. Nothing to indicate that God was keeping or would ever keep his promises. All that he had to hang his hat on was the promise. All that he had was faith that God in his grace keeps his promises, even when it seems like hope is forlorn. And that's why Paul wrote in our epistle reading today, that is why it depends on faith, that the promise may rest on grace. And believing that promise counted for righteousness for Abraham. And then Paul went on to say in Romans this morning, he said, the words it was counted to Abraham as righteous were not written for his sake alone, but for ours too. God wants us to learn the same thing that Abraham learned. That against all hope, he really does have a land in store for us. A land flowing with milk and honey. A place of perfect and eternal peace and rest. It's yours. Against all hope, he would have us to believe that we, who deserve nothing but his condemnation, are nevertheless a part of his family. And that God so loved this world that he gave his Son, so that all of you who believe in him would never perish but would have eternal life. And against all hope, he wants us to believe that the righteousness that he demands of us is not an accomplishment, but it's a gift that is laid upon us who believe in the promise of the cross and of the open tomb. Against all hope, he would have us believe that we do not have to justify ourselves, but that he justifies us on account of Christ in whom we believe. And when we believe like that, when we hope against hope, like Abraham, that God is with us, that he's for us, that he will keep the promise of the cross for us, when by nothing more than the promise of God, we hope against hope that little splash of baptismal water really does have the power of forgiveness and life and salvation because God says so. When we hope against hope that the bread and the wine really are the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ because Jesus says so. When we hope against hope that the gathering of this little flock really does attract the presence and the blessing of God because God says so. When we hope in these promises, faith is counted to us as righteousness. And think about that. Even as we receive the blessings of God in Christ here today, God is still keeping his promise to Abraham that through his seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Because when God makes a promise, hope is never forlorn. With nothing more than a promise, we now make our way to the land that God is going to show us one day. And even though we have no deed for that land, we have no right to possess it, we do have hope because God has promised it to us, just like Abraham. Actually, Abraham's hope is our hope, is it not? Hope against hope, but never forlorn hope, because Christ, crucified for us, is risen and he lives and reigns to all of eternity, having sealed these promises to us by his shed blood. In his precious name. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.